Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
The word of the Lord this morning is being read from the second book of Timothy, chapter 3, verse 10 to the end of the chapter. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful to teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
As King Charles was handed a Bible at his coronation, the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland said to him, "Sir, to keep you ever mindful of the law and the gospel of God as the rule for the whole life and government of Christian princes, receive this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords." And in the passage that Glenn just read, Paul gives us what is possibly the most well-known statement in the Bible about the Bible, where he says the Holy Scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, and that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Well, these are big and bold claims about the Bible, God's word. And the question for us this morning is, do we believe them? Are we convinced that God's word is able to change people's lives? We probably can all agree that the Bible is important for one reason or another. But are you confident, am I confident, that God's word, working together with his Spirit, is able to bring people to Christ? Are we confident in the Bible's usefulness to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct our thinking, to teach us to live in ways that are good and right? Well, we're going to give a bit of an update this morning on our ministry with Wycliffe Bible Translators by sharing some stories and reflecting a bit on what the Bible says about itself. There are lots of new faces, which is great, since we were both up here, so we're going to give a little bit of our backstory. Back in 2001, we'd been married for a year, and we heard a couple talk about their years of living in a tiny little speck of an island off Papua New Guinea, helping a language community there translate the New Testament into that language, and the impact that it had had. And one story that we've never forgotten is that the people there were afraid to walk through the jungle at night because of the evil spirits in the area. But one of the local translators was so impacted by the stories about Jesus's power over evil spirits that he began to walk regularly between villages in the dark, which just amazed the people. And in time, many others became believers. This couple also talked about the number of language groups, people groups that still don't have the scriptures in their language, which is still actually about, no, more than 2,500 language groups. And we thought, well, what's stopping us from going and helping one of those groups translate the scriptures into their language? So the short version of the story is that we quit our jobs in music and social work and we went and studied theology and linguistics. And in 2009, we landed in Papua, Indonesia with Soren and Ruben. I think there's a photo. Okay, I just need to explain a little bit about my haircut. So just before we left, I thought I should get a haircut now because I don't know what opportunities there will be, and we won't be back in Australia for, you know, 3 odd years. But the lady in question gave me basically a mullet, which I then had to live with for the next, until it could grow out. So I was dealing with culture shock and everything else plus that. So anyway, and then autumn came a little bit later. Yes, it had grown out by then, mercifully. So anyway, and we spent most of the next 10 years working with a few different language communities in Papua, helping them with Bible translation and with developing a writing system and materials so that they could read or hear the Bible in their language.
So you might have heard that minority languages around the world are disappearing as their speakers shift to using more dominant languages that are spoken around them. In order to boost their opportunities for education and employment and for development in their communities. This is, of course, a huge loss to the speakers of those minority languages and also, and to human society as a whole, as the lots of traditional knowledge and culture is embedded in those or encoded in those languages. In theory, this language shift also means that those people are gaining access to Bibles that already exist in those larger languages, which is obviously a good thing. But, and it's a true thing, but there are nearly 180 million people in this situation who don't actually understand those larger languages well. So, are those Bibles able to bring understanding of the message of salvation? And if these Bibles are not in a language that the reader or the hearer understands well, how useful are they for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training? In Papua, where we worked and still work, we see a good picture of this language shift kind of situation. So Papua is a province of Indonesia, and so national schooling is in Indonesian. But kids in Papua don't actually speak Indonesian. And particularly in coastal areas, they speak another language called Papuan Malay, which is related but different enough that their understanding in school is limited. On top of which, the Indonesian Bible is it's a bit like a King James version. It uses older language. So in a language they already don't know well, it makes it difficult for them to understand. So even an adult friend of Papuan friend of ours who does speak good Indonesian said to us, she didn't say that was me. She said, I had read the book of Ruth in Indonesian before, but it just seemed like a myth from another country that didn't have any bearing on my everyday life. But when I read it in Papuan Malay, I realised that this story had lessons to teach me that could apply to my life. Many parents and grandparents in Papua speak Papuan Malay when they're talking to their kids or when they're talking to other adults from other tribal groups, but their own identity is tied to their indigenous languages. And in Papua, there are 275 indigenous languages. So I worked with and still support two of those languages, Kemtik and Nimboran, and Gwyn continues to work remotely with the Papuan Malay translation team.
No idea where I am. Okay. Yeah, so the Papuan Malay team started translating back in 2012, and we're working towards publishing the New Testament in the next few years. At the moment, I'm working on Revelation, and I said this morning, I think that Jesus will probably have returned by the time we finish working on Revelation. And I've just started working on Hebrews with one of the translators. And I'm also trying to get Colossians and Galatians and the Gospels completely finalised and published online. And this is where we're up to overall. We've got 59% of the New Testament finished. I think we've got a little graphic. Thank you. And we've printed many of these books as regular books, but also as comics. And we're working on getting them all uploaded to YouVersion with audio to go with the text. And 39% is at some stage of drafting or checking, which leaves just Jude and Thessalonians to start. And this is all hugely exciting, and you'll all be invited to the dedication of the New Testament, but our end goal is not to produce a New Testament or even a complete Bible. The end goal is really to see people engaging with God's word, coming to Christ, growing and living out their faith in the world. And this is why, as well as having a translation team, we also have a team that focus just on distribution and church engagement. There's about 2 million speakers around the coast, and so it's a huge task to reach them all. So far, we have an MOU to work with 4 different denominations in Papua, and the distribution team are regularly going to visit churches promoting our Bible books and materials and offering training in how to use them for discipleship and evangelism. So going back to today's reading, Paul wrote this to Timothy, but it equally applies to us today. And he says that the Holy Scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, or as the New Living Translation says, they are able to give us the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. Some of you might have heard me talk about Mina, a local evangelist, and she told us that when she and her church started using the Book of Ruth and Jonah, these were two of the first books we published in Papua and Malay, people became really interested and started travelling long distances to hear the stories. So they kept using the Papua and Malay books and to evangelise and help people to find answers to their issues they were facing. And many people came to faith. A few years back, Mina shared with us that they held a baptism service and 90 people were baptised. And Paul says that the Bible is useful for teaching. A bit earlier in the passage that Glenn read, Paul points to the fact that as Timothy is going to go about his ministry, not everyone who's preaching is going to be preaching the gospel, the truth. And not everyone who claims to be following Jesus will be following Jesus. Verse 13, he says, "But evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived themselves. You, however, must continue in the things you have learned and are confident about. You know who taught you and how from infancy you have known the holy writings, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So notice that Paul tells Timothy to hold on to the things he learnt from infancy. We know from recent data that most Christians come to faith as children or as young people. So it's so critical that young people are given the chance to come to know Jesus. And this is as true in Papua as it is here. So apart from the New Testament and some Old Testament books, another big focus for our team is Sunday school material. And this is actually our best seller. And there's a few different denominations who are using the first 2 sets and have requested a full year's curriculum. And we're just about to publish the 4th of 5 sets, which will be a full year's curriculum. So it's a really unique resource with Bible picture storybooks and crafts and songs and memory verses for Sunday school teachers who really don't have anything to work with in the language that kids speak and understand well. And it means that Papuan children can learn to know Jesus as their friend without having to learn another language. Just the other day, our team leader, Mariam, was telling me about a young boy who really struggles to learn at school and at church. But he just joined a new Sunday school class using the Papuan Malay materials, and now he's the star student. So he can repeat back the whole story, and he answers all the questions correctly, and his father said, "I'm going to be bringing him every week because he's learning here like he's never learned before." Learning in his own language and in an engaging way has made all the difference. The Bible in the right language really is useful for teaching.
Paul also tells us that all scripture is useful for rebuking. One of the things I loved about living in Papua was my commute. So Sentani, where we lived, was a town of about 85,000 people. The villages where I worked were an hour and a half ride around this lake and through some mountains, through the jungle and down into the next valley. I miss my motorbike. A lot of the time, the jungle would come right up to the edge of the road or in fact, start crossing over it. And often I'd be in the middle of nowhere and suddenly an old grandmother would step out onto the road with a big pile of firewood on her head and tagging along behind her a few kids carrying vegetables from a garden somewhere back there on their way home. In villages where there was no water pipe, it was the women who would take their dishes and washing down to the river to wash and then carry water back up the hill to their houses. Anyway, one day I was in a village reading the Bible with a group of men, and we were reading a story about Mary and Joseph going up to Bethlehem when she was heavily pregnant. And when we stopped to talk about what we'd got out of the story, one of the men said, we should be more like Joseph. And I was thinking, I thought Joseph was a pretty minor character in this story. So I asked, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, Joseph. He took Mary with him up to his ancestors' village, and he was the one that looked after her when she had the baby. We should be more like Joseph. We treat our wives like wheelbarrows. So we should be more like Joseph. I said, yeah, we should. I was amazed at how God used the Christmas story to rebuke these men about the way that they were treating their women or their wives. And Paul doesn't just tell us scripture is useful for teaching and rebuking, but also for correcting. Each culture that people exist in is beautiful and glorifies God in its own unique ways. And of course, each culture also has elements that need redeeming and correcting through the truth of God's word. The speakers of Tuvan, a language in southern Siberia, had the Bible in their language for a number of years when it came time to revise it as languages change over time. And when it came time to make revisions, the local Christian community had a request. They wanted to replace the word they'd been using in the translation for woman, which was karejen. It reminded them of an old Tuvan word for woman, which meant good for nothing. The word in the original translation had already been modified from the old word, but the Tuvan men's, I bet that's mine. The Tuvan men were still using the new word with the same tinge of disdain. So in the years since its publication, the Bible's respectful attitude towards women had changed the worldview of Tuvan Christians to the point that, with the corrected thinking, they wanted to change the word that was used for women. So they then changed it to Kerejen Gizi, which means literally woman person. God's word had changed and corrected their thinking.
And what about the Bible's usefulness for training in righteousness, or as the New Living Translation says, for teaching us to do what is right? Well, one more story. Yos is the Papuan Malay team's most prolific and dedicated translator. She has 5 children and she's also very active in her church and community. She also seems to face the most challenges in her personal life. She's been drafting 1 and 2 Peter, and on the day that she drafted 1 Peter 4, as she was riding home on her motorbike, one verse just kept going through her head over and over. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. And Yos thought, of all the verses that I translated today, why does this one keep going through my head? Well, when she arrived home on her doorstep was her niece-in-law, Heidi, and her four kids. Heidi had been helping Jos to check her translations, and she'd been really growing in her faith. Jos's brother and his son, Heidi's husband, were abusive, and she'd come to Jos for safety. Jos shared that she's a person that finds it difficult to have extra people in her home, but she also felt sure that God was asking her to take her in. So she did, taking the total number of people in her modest home to 12. The Bible is useful for teaching us to do what is right, even when it is hard. Jos was also really afraid of retaliation from her family. Family loyalty is hugely important in Papua, so it's almost unheard of to take the side of an in-law. Jos knew that her father and other relatives would be really angry at her. Her oldest daughter even came to her and said, "Mom, what are we going to do? It's church tonight, and Grandpa's going to be really angry at us." And Jos said, "Let's pray and ask God to change his heart, and then we'll go to church." So they went, and after the service, they stayed in their places a little longer because they were still afraid to go out and face everyone. They prayed again and went out. And her father said, "That's nice, you took Heidi in." And no one else said anything. Such an answer to prayer. This story reminded me of probably the other most well-known statement about the Bible in the Bible from Hebrews 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So God's word is alive and it's active, speaking into our lives in real time.
So the Holy Scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation. They're useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Earlier, Gwyn mentioned that there are still over 2,500 languages that don't have any scriptures translated in them. Well, the good news is that translation projects have begun in half of those languages. The challenge for the church is there on the screen. Those are where the languages are that are still waiting for projects to begin. And those language groups are from among the more marginalised and disadvantaged people groups in the world. And they have access to fewer resources than we do in places like Australia. Bible translation is complex and technical, and it's very difficult to do without specialised training. So at the moment, although I'm still offering some support to the Nimboran translation team, my main role is teaching at SIL Australia in Kangaroo Ground. So SIL is Wycliffe's main strategic partner, and one of the things we do at SIL Australia is provide linguistics training for cross-cultural gospel workers. So we're training people from Australia and also from Asia and the Pacific so that they can work alongside these language groups. Linguistics at university is generally more theoretical than practical, but at SILA, students are learning how to learn and analyse an unwritten language and develop a writing system and work with a community, developing a body of mother tongue literature, and also learning how to translate clearly from one language to another. At SILA, we train people to work with local translators, native speakers, to help them develop their exegetical and translation skills and to produce clear, accurate, natural translations. And some of our students attend class in person, some over Zoom. So this semester I've had a student from CMS who lives in a remote Aboriginal community where he's helping them with Old Testament translation. Last year we had two students in Vanuatu who would Zoom into class from their villages. Very lightly in the background you can see some of our students and the arrows showing where they are now serving in the world. Alongside our other roles, Gwyn and I also serve as Bible translation consultants with SIL Asia. So this means that apart from our work with me with Nimboran and Gwyn with Papuan Malay, advising those teams regularly, we also consult to other translation teams to help them with their final checks of translations they've been done, they're doing. So at the moment I'm preparing to check the Book of Jude over Zoom in the Nantas language, which is spoken by a predominantly Muslim people group in Sulawesi. That's another check that we did another time.
Well, have you ever felt like great things can happen through that person or in that place or through that ministry, but not here in this place and time, not with my friends and family? Well, I've definitely felt like that. I've seen so many people's lives impacted through the Bible in Papua, and sometimes since I've been back, I've been tempted to think, oh, you know, maybe it's different there. There's definitely less cringe factor with the Bible in Papua. But cultural and economic differences aside, people in Papua are really not that different to people anywhere else. We're all wrestling with how to best parent and provide for our kids or our aging parents. People there are worrying about money and whether they'll have enough. They love their families, and sometimes they find it hard to love their families. The Bible speaks powerfully in every place into all our joys, into our loves, into our sorrows, into our disappointments. And all of us everywhere need the wisdom to find salvation and new life in Christ. The gospel is good news for everyone, everywhere. And I think that as we step out in faith, we might be surprised at who might be open to hearing and receiving God's word. At the moment, we have someone in our life who is feeling lost and is wondering if God might be real. He's grown up in a completely secular, completely unchurched context, and yet he wants to read the Bible and he's wondering if it'll have some answers. So we've given him a Gospel of John and some books explaining about the Christian faith, and we're going to keep praying that as he reads the Bible, he'll come to know Jesus, he'll meet Jesus, also through our proclamation and friendship. One thing that I was really challenged by last week from Julianne's sharing with us was how intentional she is with her friends that aren't Christians. And while she doesn't expect all of them to become Christians, she does actually expect that some of them will. And I've been guilty of assuming, even as I'm praying for someone, assuming that they won't. And I don't think the scriptures give us any reason for that kind of pessimism. So the workshop, not this coming Saturday, but the Saturday after, Julianne's going to be talking a bit about reading the Bible with people as a way of sharing the gospel with them, because the Holy Scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So sign up for that if you can.
We're so privileged, aren't we, to have the Bible in the languages that we speak here, not just English, but Korean and Chinese and Farsi and Malayalam, and there may be others I'm not aware of. It's accessible to us, and we're hugely privileged to be able to partner with minority language communities in Papua and around the world as they work to translate God's word for their communities. We are thankful to Deep Creek for your partnership with us, and we trust that you're blessed and encouraged by being a part of this work. Thank you.